This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
President Trump is delaying the release of some of the files on the Kennedy assassination that were due to come out today. 2,800 other records are being released. The White House says that the president says he has no choice but to keep some of those documents secret because of national security concerns, but he is having agencies review them for possible release next year.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special music guest for you today. We're joined by singer-songwriter Butch Parnell. Butch, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm super excited to have you on today's show. I want to first start off by saying Happy Music Monday to you today.
Thank you very much. Love Music Monday.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We love it as well. I mean, this is a great time for us to basically spotlight great new music and to kind of showcase, you know, what's going on in the world of music. And we're super excited to talk to you because you have a new EP set to be released on November 17th. And we're talking to you today about the EP and just kind of the writing process. First off, I want to just ask you, how have you been doing? Because I know that you've been super, super busy.
I've been good. I'm best when I'm busy. I don't do very well with idle time and boredom. So staying active does very, very well for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're one of those people that can kind of like kind of multitask, so to speak.
Oh, no, I'm terrible at that. I'm the world's worst multitasker.
Oh, like,
oh yeah. I only can do one thing at a time. It's Monday is associated with this one task and Tuesday is this thing. And with like anytime I'm trying to jump back and forth between the two, I lose so much time trying to figure out what role am I playing right now? Am I a songwriter? Am I the producer? Am I the art? You know, I've learned enough now to be like, do this one thing today well, and then we'll move on to something else tomorrow.
Absolutely. I see what you mean. So it's like what most people would consider to be kind of, you know, chaotic or hectic. It's like that's like what you thrive in. That helps you to, I guess, in terms of like your creativity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I even have to like schedule time for like physical movement and like staying active because that also plays into my creativity. I find out I'm like, oh, I'm not writing very much right now. I'm like, oh, you didn't exercise today. So like those two things go hand in hand with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about your background. You know, you grew up, you know, from North Carolina, I believe.
That's true. Yeah.
And now you reside in Brooklyn. Tell me about your roots. I mean, what basically was the catalyst to start, you know, with your love of music and what made you start playing?
Well, my very earliest memory, or one of my earliest memories as a child, was my dad playing Bob Dylan's Bring It All Back Home album on vinyl just over and over and over again. I think it's the only thing we owned, but it's that sound was so ingrained in my head at such a small age. And I grew up in a very, very rural part of North Carolina. The closest town to us had 3,000 people, but we lived 5 miles outside of that town. And we really didn't have neighbors then, you know? So the only people I had to come in contact with musically outside of school, which there was not really a whole lot of music in school, was the music my parents were listening to. And they weren't very big into music other than that Bob Dylan record or what was on country radio at the time. So it's this joining of those two things is kind of where I think my musical background came from. And by growing up in the middle of nowhere, there was nothing really else to do. There weren't neighborhood kids for me to go out and get in trouble with because there weren't any. It's just myself and my brother. And so we gravitated towards music, and that became our obsession because it gave us something to do that didn't require a whole lot of people to participate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you first started playing, did you identify, I guess you must have closely identified with the music that your father played that you heard growing up, Is that so, or did you?
No, it's the exact opposite. No, I didn't want anything to do with that. Like, when I first started learning guitar, I wanted to be in like a rock and roll band, and just very, like, just like it was kind of like, you know, no one was doing folk music at that time, or no one was doing that style. Like, Tom Petty was doing it, but like, to me, Tom Petty at that point, I was like, I'm not sure this guy's cool, but I mean, obviously he is, and a lot cooler than the music I was listening to. As I go back and listen to some of my earlier musical influences, I'm thankful for them because they gave me a start and gave me an entrance into music. But like, musically and just emotionally and like substance-wise, they, you know, I find myself returning to the music that's closer to what I was listening to as a 5-year-old than as someone who was 15. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Makes sense. I mean, I love the music that you make, and I can tell like the music that you've written and everything. It seems like you basically have injected a piece of like yourself, your childhood into your music. Tell me what the writing process was like for you on this newest EP. Was it particularly laborious to create the EP, or did it come naturally?
This is one of the EPs where I have a problem with taking way too long with things, and I think maybe there's a lot of things a lot of musicians or artists, they want to get it very fit, and then they decide it's crap, and then they release it anyway, and you never know. Where this EP, I really wanted to do it as quickly as I possibly could, as well as I possibly could, but I didn't want to give the critic enough time to show up and hate it before I got it out of my hands. So the whole recording and the whole process of it was very fast. In fact, I thought I was going to make another EP. There's another one I have kind of on hold on the side. I thought that was going to be the thing I was making, and I decided, no, let's jump off over here for a second. Let's see how fast we can make this and see if it'll how working with the critic at bay affects how the music comes out. And but before I knew it, the EP was done, and I had kind of washed my hands of it. And now I'm just coming back to it and being able to listen to it in a way with fresh ears and kind of critique it, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your single Hurry. What's the story behind it?
Hurry is this kind of song. It's actually a song that kind of got its roots a few years ago, where I had met this amazing girl, and she was kind of in a situation that she needed to get out of. And it was a very, like, what's the best way to put this? Like, she's not in a very good situation. She's kind of like under the thumb of someone else, and financially she can't help herself yet. And to put on top of that, she's an immigrant. So it's a lot of like, she's just got a lot of things weighing. And I'm at times, and probably most of the times, a naive musician that thinks, all right, a 3-minute song can help change the world. Like, I've seen it. I've seen where songs have helped move people, and I've seen where it's been used for good and where it's been used for bad. And I was like, I got so overwhelmed that I wrote this song because she wanted to start this kind of like, it's going to sound ridiculous because it is, like, animation band, kind of like the Gorillaz.
Okay.
She wanted to do something like that. Not to make money, but just for fun. And so I was like, I'm going to write our very first single. And that was the song I wrote. And in my brain, I was like, I'm going to write this song. It's going to be huge. It's going to help her get out of her situation. I'm going to feel like I've helped a friend. It's, you know, it's just going to be like, I found the purpose for the music that I can get, like all these things. And none of that happened. Like, it just, this put away for a bit, and she moved away, and I can say happily that she was able to remove herself from the situation in a very positive manner, which is great. That means the song didn't have to work for her to be happy and succeed. So in that light, awesome. But then when I came back to the song, I really liked its simplicity, and I'd played it for people and asked them what they thought about it, and they took on a completely different meaning from it than what I had intended. And I was like, I started hearing it from their perspective. And so I wanted to, like, record it and see really what other people, how other people respond to it. Would they hear it more the way I hear it, or they hear it the way some of my friends hear it? Like, it's like a two-sided coin. You can see it two different ways. Even in its simplicity, it can carry two different stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. This is kind of a weird question, but I've seen the artwork for your EP, and it's a guy and a girl holding hands, and it looks mm-hmm. like they're looking at the stars. Were you trying to convey that story that you just told me onto your?
Well, somewhat, and I feel like the part of it, the whole EP itself is supposed to tell a story from track one to track two to track three. It's all a continuation of one story, which is kind of a universal story that a lot of people can relate to. A relationship that, through no fault of either individual, has its rise and a fall, and sometimes it ends even before it begins through no fault of either person, but more so of circumstance in the world or other outside influences. And I wanted to play into that, the artwork is trying to tell that story, but it's also trying to be almost like a tarot card. Like, it's the lover's tarot card, and the lovers, per se, have their back to the title because they have no idea that they're not the lover card. They're the card that actually doesn't win. They don't know yet. And it plays into that, and then there's, like, little images throughout that kind of hint that this is the kind of story that's been told since the beginning of time. Like, for me, also, I think there's a reference to, you know, the Garden of Eden and the fall there. So it's like...
Yes, I picked that up as well. And
they had no idea themselves that they were in for the fall. And, you know, it's just...
Right, that's right.
It's still a story that needs to be told, each one of the stories. My story, that story, these relationships that don't work out, they're still beautiful in themselves, and you don't need to just gloss over them and it didn't work, so let's never think of that again. Well, it's still a beautiful moment that you could capture there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Butch, I didn't mean to speak over you. I just, I was praying that I wasn't reading too much into it, but I meant to ask you, would you say that you're a spiritual person?
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, or would you say that you're like a man of faith? Please elaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I play in my church worship band. So I grew up in the church. I went away from the church. I came back to the church. I went away from the church, and I'm in. I'm a very questioning person, and there are times when I've been most at home in church, and most of the time there have been times when I'm at most comfortable with myself, seeking things on my own, and as I'm finding as I get older that doing these things on your own is not, at least in my opinion, the purpose of what we're supposed to do. We're collectively supposed to come together and as a community and as people to speak collectively and for the greater good and for, if you're a spiritual person, for God, I'm constantly in awe of everything.
Yes, absolutely. Me as well. You hit on something. You briefly touched on just how, the fall in the garden and how it kind of, set this spiral motion in for the fall. And, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that a lot of times, like, people kind of want to look away, or they want to overlook the things that happened that, may have led up to the way that we treat each other, today. But it definitely has a huge part in that. And, I mean, the fact that you explore that on this album and in your music, I think, is amazing. You had also said that you felt that, sometimes you feel like, one 3-minute song can change the world. I think it does. I mean, the power of music is uncanny, and it's I believe it's something that God gives us here in the earth, I believe music has the power to heal because it is divine. And
absolutely.
So you touched on so much there, and I just again, I apologize for talking over you. I just
it's a conversation here, so feel free to jump in as you want to. So.
Absolutely. But man, is there, I guess, to go off topic a little bit, but was there ever a time where, you felt the power of God that, he just was, playing a big role in your life, or a time where you felt, the hand of God, moving you to create a song or moving you out of harm's way or something like that?
I strangely wake up every morning and I'm wondering why God has played so much into my life. Like, why are you, I'm very much the Moses of, don't choose me. I'm not the right person for this. I don't have the tools for this. My brother Aaron is much better at speaking, and, he's better at this, And a lot of times I feel that way because my brother is much better musician than I am. And I do. Like, I feel like I'm a person that needs huge signs, and I need, if God gives me a little sign, I'll kind of play it off and be like, well, that's not what that meant. Or medium sized sign. Well, that's not what that meant. I was in a band at one point, and I was very comfortable in this band that was doing fairly well. And I wanted to be a songwriter, and I wanted to be a singer, and I didn't think I had the talent to do that. So in my mind, I worked up this idea of, the only way I'm ever going to step out of this is if I get a huge sign from God that is so irrefutable that even my skeptical self can't do that. And he literally sent me my favorite songwriter. We bumped into each other. I end up playing songs for him out of the blue. There's no reason we should have done this. He tells me, leave your band and go pursue this yourself.
What? Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding you. I was in a place I shouldn't have been at a time I was not supposed to be there. I run into someone I run into Ryan Adams, basically.
Wow.
We bump into each other. We pass each other and part ways, and then run into each other again that very same day. He asks if he can come over to my apartment and play music. He plays me some of his new songs. I play something I'm working on, but I'm telling him I'm in this other band. Don't even really pay attention. These songs I'm writing, this is not really what I'm doing. And he's like, what are you doing here? Like, you need to leave this band, go do your own thing. And still thinking, I don't have the tools to do this. I literally have two or three songs here that I think are okay. And now that someone who I see as a very talented songwriter has told me this thing, and I'm like, there's no way I can equate this to coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence ever. But this is the one thing I'm like, this, okay, the hand of God just pushed this here, and I can't deny that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that the question becomes then, all right, well, what do you do? And I quit that band, and I moved to New York City and completely uprooted my life. And it's been a constant turmoil ever since. But I'm still thinking why that moment came to me. Like, it may have nothing to do with me actually being a successful musician. That no one's ever said that that's what it's going to be, but for some reason I was and am supposed to pursue that. So I'm going to do that until another one of those huge billboard moments comes along and I get directed in another path. And that hasn't come yet, so I've stayed on it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm inclined to believe that, you know, that was divine providence because, you know, I mean, just what are the odds, you know? It's to me, it's like, there's really, I don't know that there really is such thing as coincidence. Perhaps
yeah.
There is. I just feel like that was just too true to be, or just too real, too coincidental to be a coincidence. If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's amazing because to me, you know, that was God's way of saying, like, don't give up, you know, pursue
yeah.
your dream, do this because this is what you're supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, I could have stayed and it would have been a lot easier to not do it, but I felt that pull so much that, and part of it was me wanting to do that and then getting that kind of assurance that yes, you are supposed to be doing this was like, it's just undeniable. I continually have to wake up every day and try to walk down that road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to just talk to you too, because, you know, what would you say, I guess, is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your music? I know that, you know, in different parts of your life, different times of your life, you know, you're going to write music, you know, for various moods that you're in or various parts of your life. Like, you know, a certain song may mean a certain thing, but overall, like when people listen to your music, what's the biggest takeaway that you want them to get from it?
I think the biggest thing is I want people to realize it's an honest story, or as an honest a story as can be told. You know, as a songwriter, you can put your own slant on things, but there's a lot of fantastic pop music in the world that's created in basic labs, and like they test it on people and make sure it brings about the right mood. And I don't have a problem with that. And a lot of times I actually really enjoy writing those songs as well. But this is the one thing where I wanted it to be as raw and as honest as possibly could be. And maybe it's a little too honest for people. And maybe, like, the production is not as clean as we're used to hearing in today's market. But I wanted those things to be very intentional. Like, I want you to listen to it and feel, okay, this guy's telling me his truth, and those imperfections in there let me know this is a human, and there's a human heart associated with these songs and with these stories, and it kind of hopefully inspires people to create something on their own that doesn't have to be like super fancy, or you know, just kind of telling their own honest story. And if we can get people being, first of all, honest with themselves more than being honest more with like everyone else, I feel like we can grow as a community and as a society. And, you know, we can still listen to great pop songs, but like, I guess I'm just trying to show another side of music, I guess, is the simplicity of it. That's a long-winded answer. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I agree completely. I think, basically when I think of music, I think of food. I know that sounds weird, but, it's like,
I'm following you all the way. I'm following you all
yeah,
the way here. Yeah.
It's like, okay, so we've got a McDonald's on every street corner in every major city, and then even in some rural towns, depending on the size, like you'll have you know, a McDonald's, maybe even two. And yes, it's food, and yet it's something that, you know, almost everybody eats or eats at. But there are better options out there. There are more healthier foods that we can be consuming, more foods that are better for our body that will help us and heal us. And so I feel like what you said was so poignant, because it's like, yes, there are tons of great pop songs out there, and they're sugary sweet, and they taste good, and they're crispy and hot, you know, and salty. But, you know, there are, you know, these other good, you know, this, you know, this good music that's out there. It may not be packaged the same way as McDonald's, but hey, it's a really good, you know, filet mignon, you know, dinner. It's just, if you took the time to sit down and actually eat it,
yeah,
you would see it, that it's really, really good. And so that's kind of how music is. It's like, you're kind of like distracted by the shiny bells and whistles, but you know, there are some really good home cooked meals over here. And so I thought what you said was just spot on. I mean, it's, you know, not knocking, you know, Taylor Swift or Kanye West or any of these other, you know, again, big name pop music stars, but it's like there's, you know, there's power and there's just healing in some of the great music, other great bands or singers and songwriters that are out there, you know, doing what you're doing. So,
yeah, I think there's so much good music that as long as it hits you in the right time and you're open for it, you'll find some, like, just tremendous amount of music that's out there that's not really getting the exposure that, one, they deserve, but, like, it's not as accessible. So it's, you know, like you're saying, the McDonald's is easy because you can find it everywhere, and you can drive a block or two, and you see it there. It's kind of like with what pop music is, and it's on the radio. It's there, and you're like, oh, this is good. But if you don't take a little extra time to dive a little deeper, you might miss something. And
Absolutely. I completely agree. Tell me, as a creative person, as an artist, what inspires you? Because I know that there's, you know, there's a ton of it's a big world. Is there any particular thing that just inspires you, that kind of helps you to keep going and to keep doing what you're doing?
I mean, I have a very great support system. Like, I have my family is amazing, and they're there for me when, like, things aren't going as well. Like, a tour gets canceled or sales aren't doing great. So it can be very easy for me to be like, all right, I'm done here. So they're definitely my support system through my friends and my family are one part that keeps me moving. And I'm constantly, like, I don't know if this is just super cheesy, but I just write love songs, and I'm enamored with the idea of love from all things, like whether it be a relationship between, you know, two people, or if it's the family love or love of your community. Like, it's like the kind of thing that Paul McCartney got a lot of slack for writing just silly little love songs. And I was like, dude, that's all I want to do. It's like write these relationship songs for people. And so when I see them in people that I'm, that love between people that I meet, or I'm able to create a story about a family member's love, or, you know, just even fictional characters that I can create, like, every song I've written can be pulled back to that one emotion. I think me trying to explore that, because that's, I think from what I've learned, like, for myself, like, that's the one thing in life I'm seeking the most, is like not fame, not money. I'm just seeking an understanding and finding out what love really is. And between my family and that, I think there's enough writing material to keep me going for a very long time, or at least I hope so.
Absolutely. I, not to sound super cliche or to sound like I'm just like brown nosing you or anything, but you really hit on something there. I think, I mean, the world needs more love. If you ask me what the biggest problem is, whether it be, you know, with race relations or, you know, pending war or just the economy and just, you know, the whole financial crisis and what's going on, a lot of it just comes full circle back to love. You know, mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, this guy named Jesus, he basically said, you know, the greatest commandment is that you love. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, if you take that and then, I mean, even if you're, you know, I mean, because I get it. I get that, you know, Jesus isn't, you know, for everybody, but even if you were to look at other, you know, the old other so-called religions, I mean, you would even say, you know, a lot of them even indicate that, you know, love is powerful and love is, you know, the key to life, essentially. And so I think, you know, it's not cheesy to sing about love because, you know, love, it comes in so many forms. I mean, you've got the unconditional love, which is what God has for us. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, like romantic love between a man and a woman. It's so powerful, you know what I mean? And another guy, a great writer, was this guy named the Apostle Paul. And, you know, he said that, you know, I may, you know, do these great miracles. I may, you know, even go as far as, you know, casting my body into a raging fire, you know, but without love, you know, everything I've done is just pointless, you know, and so it really kind of puts things in perspective. So when you look at songs from the 50s and 60s, you know, a lot of those Motown bands and even, you know, like you said, the Beatles, you know, they were singing about love, and it was like people, it wasn't cheesy to people, you know, people yeah. understood, you know, like love is power and, you know, love is everything, you know, and it wasn't until, I guess, maybe the late 70s, early 80s when we started to kind of drift away. And I mean, now it's all about, you know, depending on what genre of music you're listening at, it's like, you know, sex, drugs, money, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the value has been skewed and people are looking at things, looking at life especially, the wrong way. And it's really just sad, but, you know, hopefully there'll be a resurgence, a revival of consciousness, and people will come to their senses and see, like, hey, you know, the answer to our problems, the things that we're struggling with is, you know, we need to love each other and love ourselves. And so,
you couldn't have said it better. I mean, that's exactly how I feel it is, and I believe, like, the world lives on a pendulum that kind of swings back and forth, and, you know, we've moved, and maybe this is my grown-up self coming into it, or at least growing-up self, where I'm seeing, like, everything that's going on, it's like we're trying to get everything to shine a light on ourselves,
yeah.
and we're trying to make everything about the one individual, and, you know, I'm the star of this show that everyone else is just my supporting cast. And I think we're losing something where we've lost the realization that we all are just the supporting cast. And so, like, we're collectively supposed to come together and, like, you know, like, discover who we are through a means of love of ourselves and through one another. And, you know, if you're a spiritual person in love of God, you know, if nothing else, like, I'm hoping my little 3.5-minute songs at least get someone to question, like, why is this song different than other stuff I've heard? And, like, why does this guy use the word love so much? And, you know, things like that. Yeah, it's just, you know, I guess mustard seed, just planted it somewhere, just trying to get it in there.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, Butch, I think that, you know, really what you're doing, it is a catalyst. You may not see it. You know, sometimes, you know, again, to go back to the Bible, not to sound super preachy, but it's like, you know, there's an analogy, a parable that Jesus gives of the sower. You know, some people plant the seed, some people water it, but they all play a process in it growing. And so you may not always see the direct result of your music, you know, and how it may be touching people's minds and hearts, but, you know, 5, 10, 15, maybe 50 years from now, when people are still listening, you know, it'll touch somebody, and they will in turn be able to continue the catalyst of growth and basically making the world a better place, because it takes everybody. Like you said, we're all supporting cast members. I mean, this isn't – there's no – I mean, the main character, the main actor is God, you know what I mean? And we're just his supporting cast.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, people are so quick to get it twisted, you know, and it just, to me, it just kind of takes away from, you know, the glory that is supposed to be given to him, you know, and so, but yeah, I think, you know, what you're doing is great because it's the gifting that was given to you. And you know, you're basically using your gift to basically, you know, you're giving it back to him. And that, to me, that's, you know, like Muhammad Ali said, you know, what you do with your gift when you give it back to God, you know, that's your rent. That's your price that you pay for being here on earth, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that what you're doing is great. And I just want to encourage you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome. You're welcome. I want to jump ahead. I know that you've played some pretty big festivals, CMJ and South by Southwest, to be. What do you love most about touring?
I love playing shows. I love being on stage. I love the spontaneity of being in a crowd and the stories that go along with. I like to play a song and then weave together the next song with a story that hopefully ties everything together. I love that spontaneity, but I also love coming off stage or before and meeting the people that are there, whether they're there to see me or not. Like, you're in this community, and like, tell me about what goes on here. Like, what's your story? Like, I love meeting other people. Like, I love that music brings people together. For one thing, I feel like, and I'm terrible for this myself, we as a society have forgotten how to communicate with each other. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to stand face to face. And, you know, I'm a very introverted person, and I don't really like being in huge crowds, and I get a little uncomfortable, and I'm always worried about not saying the correct thing or like, so when there's like a purpose where people have come to this moment to talk, it's because music brought them there and it's a safe environment and we can hopefully have a dialogue. I love meeting those people and being like, you know, who brought you here today? Like, is there an artist that brought you here today? It's like, where you're just like, oh, it's Tuesday and I really just want to get out of the house and go see some music. Like, it's having face-to-face conversations with people as opposed to just superficial between the screen kind of interactions. Like, there's something about standing face-to-face with someone that's very powerful.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that connection, that camaraderie, you know, just like you said, just meeting new people and just basically coming together, you know, off of like some commonality or discovering that commonality together. I think it's amazing because really it just, you know, it's just fellowship. It's fellowship with your fellow man.
And absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's another thing that, you know, the world is lacking. We need to basically get out of our comfort zones and just get out and meet new people and just fellowship and, you know, love on one another because,
yeah,
you know, we're only given this one life. And we just, you know, you really have to make the best of it. And so I think what you hit on was so true, so good. I wanted to ask you, I know that you have the EP dropping on the 17th. Mm-hmm. Can we expect a full length anytime soon?
I'm toying with that. The whole reason I kind of jumped to this EP model is the band I used to be in, we were signed to a label, and we recorded an album, and it took a long time to get it done. I mean, longer than I had ever intended. I think we spent at least a year and a half trying to get this album done. 11 songs. I'm proud of that album, but we got it done, and then we delivered it to our record label, which said it would be released in at one time, and then when that time came, they said, no, we're going to push it back 6 more months. So then that came out, and then through that whole cycle of the release, and then the next thing I knew, I was like, these songs have been around for going on, 3-4 years now, and I'm off to the kind of writing the next thing, and there has to be a better way to do this than the way we're doing it. And partly because, like, it costs a ton of money to record in that studio and to get it packaged and released. And so in the interim of – I was writing for the next album for the band. I just started recording these EPs on my own. Like, I'm basically taking care of all the production. And an album has gone from costing me $20,000+ to this last EP – I will happily tell you, probably cost me around $250 to make.
Ooh, oh wow.
Yeah, but I did everything myself except for the mastering of it, which I have a friend who's Tommy Heron, who's an amazing mastering engineer who gives me an obscenely terrible rate. He's got to stop doing it. He's got to start charging me more money. It's just, but he mastered it for basically nothing. And it allows me to write a song on Monday, start recording it, and I might be able to have that song done by Friday, and I can have it to Tommy by Saturday, and then maybe by Wednesday of the next week, it's done. And it allows me to work faster, get the critic out of the way, not have to wait around for the record label to approve it, or, it might get me in trouble of putting out stuff that wasn't quite ready, but at the same time, it keeps things fresh and it keeps things moving and it keeps excitement for me. And so if I do something that wasn't quite right, then hopefully the listener will be like, he's putting out something every 6 months. I'll check back in 6 months and see what he's got. So I'm not always going to satisfy the listener, and I'm not always going to satisfy myself, but I want to keep things forward moving. And being caught in that cycle with the record label that I was on was like, it was just taking too long, and I was getting too bogged down in the business part of it, and nothing kills my creativity faster than having to deal with that of scheduling and waiting on something and being told it's going to be released here and it doesn't, and having to fight with your label about this, and it wasn't a pretty thing. So, but that being said, I'm in the process of writing something now where I can't tell yet if it's just going to be a 3-4 song EP or if more things are going to come together and fit together as a story that it may turn into a full length. I'm still waiting to find out what that's going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand completely. I feel like you said, it's like the old model was super arduous because it was like, having to go through a label and, just kind of play this, like, this waiting game, so to speak. But with the way it is now, it's like it's more efficient and you're able to do more of what you love, which is write and play music. So
yeah.
I think that's really cool. I mean, yeah. It gave me some insight that I didn't know of before, and I think that's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I don't want to get caught into this cycle of only doing it this way, because I also want to grow as an artist. And I don't want to just be the guy that works in his little cave and kind of keeps everybody else out. So I can see where it might be time to do a full length just to have to bring in more people around me to, like, I really, really want to work with my very first producer, Orin Thornton, in Nashville. But he's gone on to be a pretty big success in Nashville. So it'll take some stars aligning to make that happen. But it's kind of where I started with him. And I'd like to do a little kind of return and see where we've both grown as musicians and producers and songwriters, and to do a full length album. That's, I would love that the next release and, you know, early of next year be a full length that he and I have worked on together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you, I know that your EP is going to be available soon. Where can our listening audience purchase your new EP?
It'll be available on all the streaming services, and it'll be available through iTunes and Google and Amazon and all those. I've not done any physical releases since the band, and it's one of those things where we got X amount of things pressed for the band's past release, and it's I'm basically sitting on a lot of merchandise that people are going to have to destroy. And I wanted to keep the cost down of production of music to keep things moving forward. And eventually I'd like to release all these things physically to people that want them, but I have to wait until the demand kind of warrants it. Hopefully this next EP will do well enough to where people say, oh, really? You know, even if it's just a short run of, you know, 1,000 of the previous EPs as well as this one, like, to keep, that amount's not going to make me money, but it's going to, if it breaks even, that's perfect. So people still get the product, and, I don't have a mountain of boxes in the corner of my tiny Brooklyn apartment that are just taking up space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand completely. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
I post most actively to our Instagram account, or to my Instagram account. And it kind of like, it's like a post here about me eating way too much pizza. Another post, I love pizza. I'm a huge dog person. And then maybe every 4 or 5 posts will be like, oh yeah, I forget sometimes that I'm a songwriter. If you want to hear my songs, go to this link here. Instagram is kind of the biggest thing. It kind of gives you the visual of like what's going on. So I kind of like that platform. It's not so, I don't know, sometimes like Facebook and Twitter can come off to me as just like just another ad campaign of like, go listen to my stuff here, and like, why would I do that? Like, why would I do that? Like, yeah. So it's like, I think Instagram helps people see the humanity of people. Like, I get up every morning too, and I go for a run, or I go get coffee, or, you know, my dog doesn't walk very well on a leash. You know, it's like people think that are relatable that other people can relate to too. It's not like,
yeah, it's narcissistic to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you can find some Instagram accounts that are just like so perfectly curated, and they've got their whoever's like running they live the most pristine life, and I'm like, well, we all know this isn't true. Like,
right, exactly.
Like, even I don't care how successful you are, you still have those moments where, like, you wake up and you don't look good in the morning, or your dog has destroyed the pillow, or, like, you forgot to leave. I'll wake up and be like, I forgot to put the pizza in the refrigerator last night. You know, little things. Like,
yeah, right.
It gives you some humanity, and, like, it's just, I think a lot of social media tries to, like, set up this fake hierarchy of, like, I'm more important than you, and you may you may look upon me. Whereas I think Instagram kind of helps level the field a little bit if used correctly, that it's like, hey, you know that dumb thing you do sometimes? I do that dumb thing too. And then it's like, oh, by the way, I also write music if you want to listen to it. You know, other than that, like, I can't stand, like, sales pitches. I would be a terrible salesman. Like, you know, I have a very good friend who's an insurance salesman. He is so charismatic. He knows how to do it. And he helps people out. I would be the world's worst at that job because I would be finding ways to save people money. I'd be like, actually, don't buy that one. If you wait till next Tuesday, you know, it's just... So.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with being honest, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Butch, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule.
Absolutely, Walter. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything else you'd like to say to our listening audience.
How's the weather in Memphis right now? Because it's freezing in New York.
Yeah, it's actually been pretty cold the last couple of days. Cold by Memphis standards.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of days it's been in the 40s. And
so, okay, so yeah.
You know, down south here, it's like we're so thin-blooded. And so it's like if there were just a speckle of snow, they'd shut the city down.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
It's interesting to see, you know, my fellow Memphians, like in our big overcoats and stuff. It's kind of funny, but it's also been really awesome at the same time because I was talking with some fellow church members the other day, and we were just saying, you know, last year we really didn't get a winter. You know, it was hot all the way through. And then we had this like big snowstorm in February. And so it's really cool that, you know, in November, early, you know, late October, early November, you know, we're getting cold weather. And
yeah.
So it's been nice. People have been really welcoming in the change. And then of course there's no mosquitoes when it's this cold. So it's been nice. People have been able to just really enjoy, you know, not getting eaten alive by the mosquitoes here because they're bad. You know, we're basically in between Arkansas and Mississippi, and so they call this area like the Delta. And so we get the mosquitoes just right off the Mississippi River, and they're just pretty bad here. So it's been a good break not having them around. So
that's good. Yeah, as a Southerner, too, I've been in New York for almost 11 years now.
Oh, wow.
I still don't deal well with the cold. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to, like, snowbird in, like, Florida during the winter because, like, it's probably 49 here today, and
okay.
I'm already like, no, this is too much. Yeah, if it gets below 50, I'm like, it's, you know, I moved from Charleston, South Carolina, where we got what I would consider 2 weeks of winter a year. And I was like, perfect, moving on. So.
Yep. That's kind of how Memphis is too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Butch. I really appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait to get back to Memphis. It's been actually way too long since I've been there.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. So much, so much good music still comes out of here. And, you know, and then of course we have a rich history, you know, I mean, so many artists have created albums here and written about it. And then, you know, Elvis, Johnny Cash, they're from here. So it's, and B.B. King, I mean, it's just, it's an amazing place.
Yeah. It's steeped in tradition.
Yes. And good barbecue.
That's right. Now we're talking. Yeah. I love music, but I really love food.
Yes. Yeah. Me as well. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Butch.
Thank
really
you, Walter. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, that was singer-songwriter Butch Parnell. His newest album, The Fall, drops November 17th. We'll put a link to that pre-order in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you got an iPhone of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Butch. Android users, have no fear. We're available on your device. If you've got an Android phone or Android tablet, you can listen to us by going to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name. You can begin listening all free of charge. Lastly, if you've got a Roku television or a Roku Smart TV, you've got a Roku player, or a Roku smart TV, you can watch it right in the privacy of your own home. We've got over 200 plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge from the Roku's channel store. Just search for our name. Once you search for our name, download the app, and then you can begin streaming all free of charge.